Thanks for joining us today at Springwell Church, where we want to draw spiritually thirsty people to Jesus by loving God, loving each other, and loving the world. We hope that today's message builds you up, gives you a little insight, and helps you find a brand new perspective. You can find us in Taylor, South Carolina, and online at springwell.org. That's springwell.org. Now let's jump into the message.
Acts 20, starting in verse 7, is a story that some of you may not have ever heard before. It goes like this. It says, "On the first day of the week, we came together to break bread. Paul spoke to the people, and because he intended to leave the next day, kept on talking until midnight. There were many lamps in the upstairs room where we were meeting. Seated in the window was a young man named Eutychus, who was sinking into a deep sleep as Paul talked on and on." I'm going to try not to do that today, y'all. "When he was sound asleep, he fell to the ground from the third story window and was picked up dead." Y'all know how you can remember Eutychus' name? Because if you had fallen out of the window, Eutychus too. All right. Verse 10. Y'all don't laugh at my bad preacher jokes. You just encourage them. Verse 10, "Paul went down, threw himself on the young man, and put his arms around him. 'Don't be alarmed,' he said. 'He's alive.' When he went upstairs again, and broke bread and ate. After talking until midnight, he left. The people took the young man home alive and were greatly comforted." Let me ask you a question. How many of you are picky when it comes to where you sit at a restaurant? Anybody? It can't be just me, right? I mean, I know there's some people that are picky when they sit at a restaurant because they like have their guard up and they don't want to have their back to the door and they want to know where all the emergency exits are. For me, it's very less tactical. It's more practical. First off, when I get seated at a restaurant, unless it's really, really busy, I don't want to sit in the middle. Like, I don't want to sit at a table in the middle of the restaurant. I want to be around the wall, preferably like in a back corner. Anybody else enjoy being put in the corner? When I'm seated in that corner, I don't want it to be like towards the front of the restaurant either, especially when it's cold, because every time the door opens, you get cold air blowing on you. And in my mind, I really like my food hot. And in my mind, every time that door opens, my food gets a little colder. If I'm seated with like a big party of people, I don't want to be on the end of the table because I feel like I'm missing out on everything. I want to be in the middle of the action, you know, where I'm distracted by four conversations instead of one, and I can participate in all of them. I'm sure that there's something wrong with me, and y'all can diagnose that. But I like to be in the middle and fully involved in the conversation. You know, where we're seated really does change our experience. Where you're seated right now in this room changes your experience. It changes how you hear the music, changes how you hear me. It may even change if you're cold. If you're hot, some of y'all that complain about being cold or hot every week, it's where you're seated. Sorry. But our seat changes our experience. We have this story of this young man named Eutychus here in Acts 20. This is one of the strangest stories in the Bible, but it's also really strange because it's later in the book of Acts. The book of Acts is mainly about the beginning of the church, about the spread of the gospel from early on. And especially once you get to chapter 20, the book of Acts is really about Paul's missionary journeys. But yet, right here, we find this story about this young man named Eutychus who is seated by a window, and Paul is preaching, and he doesn't just fall asleep, but he falls out of that window and dies. So the natural question is, why is this story located in Acts 20? Well, I think it's pretty obvious. Don't fall asleep during a sermon, you may die. I'm just kidding. No, I think there's a very practical point to this story, and this is my main point for the day. My seat affects my future. If you only hear me say one thing and you have to leave and go to IHOP or something, write this down. My seat affects my future. See, I think if Eutychus were here today, he would ask us this question: where are you seated? That's my title this morning. Where are you seated? So with that as our backdrop, let's kind of go through this story verse by verse. starting in verse 7, it says, on the first day of the week, we came together to break bread. Now, let's pause the story right there, because this doesn't have a ton to do with the story, but I think it answers a question that I get sometimes as a pastor, and that is, if the Sabbath is on the last day of the week, why do we worship on Sunday, the first day of the week? Have you ever wondered that? If God rested on the seventh day, why do we worship on the first day? And the answer is because here in the early book of Acts, we see them meeting together on the first day of the week. You see, even though these new believers who were Jewish before, some of them, even though they held on to some of the Jewish traditions like prayer times and that kind of thing, as time went on, they started to let go of some of those traditions. And so the first day of the week became known as the Lord's Day, because that was when Jesus rose from the dead. And so even back in the book of Acts, we see that they are gathered together on the first day of the week. And so we've held on to that tradition. So now that you have your answer to your church game show, if you ever play one, let's get back into the story. Verse 7, Paul spoke to the people, and because he intended to leave the next day, he kept on talking until midnight. So Paul is in this city known as Troas. It was a port city, and his time, he knew in that city, was getting to the end. And so when we pick up the story in Acts 20, Paul is talking, and the people want to hear everything he has to say. That's why he's preaching so long, because they don't know if Paul will ever be back to visit them. And on top of that, Paul, as their preacher, as their leader, is trying to tell them all the information he can possibly get to them, and he is trying to help them as much as possible. Can I just let you know on a side note that is the heart of this church? The heart of the staff and the pastors of this church is to help you as much as possible. And just to be really, really honest, I don't know if it changes as I get older. I don't think it will. But do you know that this pastoring thing is not a professional thing for me? Like, when you go through things, your church goes through them with you. Do you understand that? That's why we always say we're here for you, because we really are. Paul, he wants to help these people as much as possible. And as one of your pastors, I can sympathize, because we do. We want to walk through life with you. When you grieve, we grieve. When you struggle, we struggle. We want to walk through life with you. That's who Springwell Church is. And so I just want to let you know that if you're ever going through something, if you're ever dealing with something, the heart of our staff is to love you and to support you and to work through it with you, because we care. Paul cares, and so he is teaching these people that he may never see again. He wants to help them as much as possible, and he just keeps on talking. And you know that the crowd that's gathered that day is hanging on every single word, but they've also got to be getting a little sleepy. Look at verse 8. It says, there were many lamps in the upstairs room where we were meeting. Seated in a window was a young man named Eutychus, who was sinking into a deep sleep as Paul talked on and on. When he was sound asleep, he fell to the ground from the third story window and was picked up dead. So in that room, there's a few different things that we know are in that room. Number one, we know Paul is there. We know that there's people there, that there's a crowd. We know that there's these lamps. We know that there's obviously a window in the room, and there's this young man named Eutychus. Now, Eutychus, that name actually means the fortunate one. Isn't that funny? Isn't that ironic? But the language that's used in this passage, most scholars believe that Eutychus was probably between 8 and 14 years old. So get this, from the very beginning of this gospel message, the very beginning of the church, what this is making the statement of, the fact that the Bible takes the time to spend it on this young man named Eutychus, it tells us from very early on that children matter. Once again, that's the heart of Springwell Church, is that children, teens, youth, matter. That's why we spend the resources we do. That's why we take the time to talk about kids ministry and student ministry the way we do, because it matters. Children, everyone matters to the gospel, but everyone matters to this church as well. And I know I say it all the time, and I started not to say it this week because I probably said it like 2 weeks ago, but I want you to know that The gospel matters for everyone. Even from the beginning of this message, after Jesus rose from the grave, even from the very beginning, the gospel was available to every single person. The Bible teaches that babies matter. The Bible teaches that kids matter. The Bible teaches that students, kids, youth matter. The Bible teaches us that the elderly matter. The Bible tells us that black people matter, that white people matter, that Asian people matter, that Hispanic people matter, that broken people matter, that rich people matter, that poor people matter, that those who are up and out matter. The Bible teaches us that everyone matters from the very beginning of the church. The gospel message is clear, and it clearly says that no matter who you are, what you've done, what you did last night, what you're going to do this afternoon, that the gospel message is for you. So don't tell me you're too far gone. Don't tell me those people that you don't like are too far gone. The gospel is for every single one, and it always has been, even from the very beginning of the church. He's 8 to 14 years old. Eutychus is in the room this day. And he matters, but he's about to learn a very painful lesson. You see, Eutychus is seated in this window. Can't you just see this playing out? So Eutychus, everybody in the room that day was probably hanging on every word that Paul said from the very beginning. But if Eutychus really was 8 to 14, maybe his attention span was longer than an 8-year-old now. But can't you imagine that maybe like the first hour or two, he's leaned in, he's listening to Paul, he realizes there's something unique about this guy. And then maybe like hour 3, he starts counting the ceiling tiles, starts playing some kind of silly game in his head, maybe starts kind of whispering to a friend nearby. By hour 4, you know he has to pee. So he probably gets up, leaves, comes back. By hour 5 and 6, you know he's getting tired, right? And so he begins to kind of lean against the window and begins to do one of these. And on top of this preacher who was going on and on and on, you have these flickering lamps. These lamps weren't plug-in. They weren't LED lights, but they were ran off of oil. And so if you've ever been in a room with just a few lit candles, you know how quickly that makes you tired, right? And so Eutychus is sitting there trying to pay attention. And finally, he nods off. Can I ask you a question? Has your faith fallen asleep? I think the answer to that question for a lot of us is yes. That maybe as your life has gone on and on and on, maybe you've just been wounded by it. And so what started out as like a hot passion when you first accepted Jesus has now just kind of become a thing that you do. Has your faith fallen asleep? Have you asked God and begged God for things over and over and over again only to seemingly have your heart broken? And so now you come to church sometimes, but a lot of times you don't even want to do that. Has your faith fallen asleep? Did you used to wake up and you spent time with him and you carved out time to pray, or maybe you would even pray on your lunch break, or you would pray on your drive to work, but now you try to drown out the voices and the noise because your faith has fallen asleep because life has gotten the best of you. And if we're honest, a lot of us today, our faith has fallen asleep, and we don't really know what to do to wake it back up. We don't know how to insert the energy back into it. Eutychus, he finally nods off and he falls asleep and falls out of the window. You know, every fall is a result of your placement in the first place, isn't it? Every fall is a result of your placement in the first place. A couple of weeks ago, it was a Thursday afternoon. Melissa had been out of town all week. She still went to work that day, and so I knew she was tired, and so I got in the truck on my way home, and I was hungry, and so I sent her a text. I said, what about Chipotle for supper? Y'all, I love Chipotle. I think God, the Bible doesn't mention it, but God invented the burrito bowls on the eighth day. And so I text her, what about Chipotle? She's like, yeah, that would be awesome. And so I place the order in the app. I go through the Chipotle lane. Isn't that awesome? They call it the Chipotle lane. McDonald's doesn't do that. Do they have the Mc lane? Hadn't been in a long time. So I go through the Chipotle lane. I pick up my Chipotle. I can smell it. It's seated in the seat beside me. I can smell it. I hit every stinking red light on the way home. It takes me 20 minutes to get home. I walk in the door. I deliver the Chipotle. I put it on the counter. I quickly find my bowl. And because I've already told y'all I like my food hot, I was going to pop it in the microwave for just like a minute just to kind of give it a kick so that I could begin to dive in. And so I have the bowl sitting on my hand, the microwave door open. I go to put the bowl into the microwave and something shifts and I am left with nothing but chicken and rice and beans all over the stove and all over the floor. The only thing left in my bowl was 3 grains of rice and 2 black beans. Y'all are laughing, but I was about to cry. Why did the bowl fall? It was because of the way it was placed in my hand in the first place, wasn't it? If you're on a hike and you trip over a root, what made you trip? It was where you placed your foot. If you step outside and there's ice on the driveway and you slip and fall, why did you fall? It's because of where you placed your foot. In the same way, if you're in debt, the reason you fail wasn't because of the last purchase, probably. It was because where your finances were placed and where you spent your finances. If you're addicted, it's probably not the last drink you took or the last pill you popped. It's probably where your life was placed at some point along the way. If you get a divorce, it's probably not because of the last fight you had or the last disagreement you had. It's probably where your marriage was placed in the first place. And one of the biggest things that take people away from God isn't one big moment of doubt. It's not one big event in their life where they begin to walk away from God. No, the thing that kills people's faith is where they are positioned in their faith journey. Where are you seated? Eutychus was trying to do the right thing. He was listening to Paul before he got out of town. But because of where he was positioned, where he placed himself, he made himself vulnerable to falling out of this window. Are you in a place right now that makes you vulnerable? Do you have some relationships that you know aren't good for you? Do you have an extra cell phone that your spouse doesn't know about? Do you have a contact in your phone that's been there a long time and it's just in case? Are you in a vulnerable spot? Is there a bottle hidden somewhere at home that nobody knows about? Do you go to places that you know are going to put you in a vulnerable place in your faith? In other words, the places you go, the places I go, and the people I'm around will put me in some sort of direction in my faith journey, because my seat affects my future. So where are you seated? He was seated by the window, and it made him vulnerable to falling out of the window. Maybe I'll ask this another way. Who are you allowing to influence you? Who influences you in your faith? Is it a news outlet? Who influences you in your faith? Is it a group of people? Because we don't like to talk about this as adults, do we? how people influence us. We talk about it with our kids. We tell our son all the time, Riley, the most important decisions you will make are who your friends are. But as we get older, we don't talk about it as much, but we're still just as influenced as the people around as kids with when it comes to the people around us. Who are you allowing to influence you? And I'm not saying you can't have relationships with people that don't think like you or believe like you. That's ludicrous in today's society. Of course we have relationships with people that don't think like us or believe like us. Otherwise, how are we going to reach the world if we don't form relationships with people that don't believe like us? I'm asking, who are you allowing to influence you? Because I've had so many conversations over the last few weeks about people, and one of the issues that they are facing is they feel like they're not being accepted by somebody that they so long for acceptance from. And if we're not careful, even as adults, we will want to fit in with a group of people and we allow them to influence us and we will allow them to change our seat. My seat affects my future. So how do you know if you're in the wrong seat? Well, I'm glad you asked. Let me tell you. Just a few things. How do you know if you're in the wrong seat? Number one, do your conversations tend to focus on what's wrong with other people? Because usually there's some influence there. Or do you have a lot of secret conversations? If you find yourself having a lot of closed-door secret conversations with people, you may be seated with some wrong people. Because people that talk about people like Jesus talks about them, they don't have to hide it. Are you becoming less compassionate towards the people around you? If so, maybe you're seated with some wrong people. Are you starting to think more about how far can I go? How close can I get to the line? Rather than what would Jesus have me to do? Maybe, if you are, maybe you're seated with the wrong people. Are you starting to treat church and generosity and time with Jesus as optional things? It could be that you're seated with some wrong people. And it's not just where you shouldn't sit, it's also where you should sit. Do you find it strange that as we read Acts 20, do you find it strange that nobody tried to wake Eutychus up? Nobody gave Eutychus the elbow thing like some of y'all just did to your husbands a few minutes ago. Nobody tried to wake Eutychus up. Nobody put their arm around him as they saw him kind of nodding off. I find it interesting that nobody tried to help Eutychus, because you would think they would have been realizing that this is the Apostle Paul here. We've got to stay awake. We've got to help each other out. We've got to listen to what this guy has to say. But instead, nobody tries to wake him up. You know, we need people around. If we're going to stay in the right seat, we need people around us that will hold us up. And sometimes the reason you fall is because you have isolated yourself from the people that you need the most. That's why being at church matters. That's why being in a group matters. That's why having people that you can count on matters. I have people in my life, some of them are seated in this room today, who I have told them, if you ever see me starting to take the wrong seat, if you ever see me, even if you have an inkling that there is something in me that is putting me in a vulnerable spot, will you please call it out in me? I have people in my life who I have said, if you have my 100% permission, that if you see me in a vulnerable spot, to say, Jonathan, wake up. It's time to get seated in a better seat. We need people that when we're vulnerable can call us out. When we've missed church for a while can say, hey, where you been? We need some people who, when we're being negative about everybody, can step in and say, listen, this doesn't sound like you. This is not lifting anybody up. We need some people who, when we start acting differently, we start to isolate ourselves, can step into our lives and say, hey, you need to, there's something going on here. And this is why I completely believe that you can be a Christian and not go to church. I just find it hard to be a growing Christian and not go to church. Because we need people seated with us who will help us when we're in a vulnerable spot. Where are you seated? Because my seat affects my future. Who's seated with you? And what are you seated in. If you're seated in negativity, don't expect to live a positive life. If you're seated in gossip, don't be surprised when you get mad at everybody and you have anger issues. If you're seated in hurt and you're okay being seated there, expect to get more hurt. If you're seated in bitterness, you'll always feel disrespected and jealous. If you're seated in comparison on social media, never expect to be content with your life, because where you are seated affects your future. Where you allow yourself to live affects how you will live out your life. So Eutychus is dead as a door outside. Watch what the beautiful thing that happens is, and we read it a moment ago, but I want to read it again. It says, Paul went down, threw himself on the young man, and put his arm around him. Don't be alarmed, he said. Well, thanks a lot, Paul. Man just fell out of a third-story window, dead as a door, and you expect us not to be alarmed. Appreciate you. He's alive. Then he went upstairs again and broke bread and ate. I mean, I guess the blood didn't gross him out or anything. After talking until daylight, he left. The people took the young man home alive and were greatly comforted. So the writer of the book of Acts is Luke. Luke was a doctor by profession. So we know that Eutychus didn't fall out of this window and not actually die. Luke would have been able to see if he had a heart rate. And Luke says, no, Eutychus was dead as a doornail. And so Paul stops his sermon, which I wouldn't have done this because I'd have been offended. You fell asleep, you deserve it. Stay out there. I'll finish in a minute. But Paul stops his sermon, walks down, lays on Eutychus. Don't expect me to lay on any of you. Lays on Eutychus. And he wakes up. He gets up. Isn't that a beautiful picture of the teacher healing the fallen student? How beautiful is that? Do you know what that tells me? That tells me that after everything I just talked about and how we put ourselves in vulnerable spots, about how our faith can fall asleep, how our faith can fall dead, how we can fall into vulnerable hands and be seated in the wrong place, it tells me that Jesus still comes and picks us up and puts us in the right seat. I came to tell somebody today whose faith has fallen asleep and it's not your fault, it's just what happened in your life. I came to tell somebody who jumped out of the window and killed your faith yourself because of your habits and your ways and your discouragement. I came to tell somebody today who has seated themselves within a vulnerable spot and has taken the fall that the great teacher wants to give you new life. Do you know where you're supposed to be seated? Look at Ephesians 2:6. It says, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. That is your seat as a believer in Jesus, seated with Jesus, growing, walking with him. And the beautiful thing about it is that if you're not there right now, he'll pick you up and put you there. That it's never too late to walk, to be seated with Jesus. So what does it look like? I don't think this is one of those messages that we just hear and we leave. I think we need to make a decision today. What do you need to do? Do you need to change your seat? Because here's the thing. And I think some of us are probably thinking, to change my seat means I'm going to have to change my friends. I'm going to have to make some different commitments. I'm going to have to get up earlier. I'm going to have to lose my Sundays all the time, lose sleeping in. But here's the thing. Changing your seat is easier than falling out of the window and losing your faith. Making a change now is easier than losing your future. Parents, making a change now in your priorities for your family, even though it's going to change a lot of things for you, it's going to change bedtimes, it's going to change the things you talk about, it's going to change your Sunday mornings, making a change now for your family is easier than them growing up and you wish that you would have been in a different seat your entire life. So what do you need to do? Some of you do need to make a renewed commitment to following Jesus. I want you to know he's not mad at you. The reason he wants you seated with him is because he loves you so much. He wants to walk through every part of life with you. And he knows that he created you with this desire to do life with him. And that the only place you're going to live in fulfillment is seated right beside him. It's not your salvation that's in question. No, it's your joy, it's your peace, it's your future. Some of you need to accept Christ for the first time. Because as you look around, you have fallen out the window and you are dead spiritually. You need the teacher to come and wake you back up. Some of you really do need to have an honest conversation with your spouse because you are in a vulnerable spot right now. And you need to open up and you need to tell somebody that can be truthful with you how close you are. Some of you need to quit pushing the people away that are trying to speak truth into your life just because you don't like it. You need to let them sit beside you and put you in a better seat. With every head bowed and every eye closed, what do you need to do? What seat are you in? Where are you seated? And does it need to change? If it does, would you just pray a silent prayer right there in your seat and ask God to give you the strength to do that? If it's something that you can make a commitment to, make a commitment that you're going to do it by X day, X time. Because seated where the seat that God has for you is the best place to be. If you don't have a relationship with Jesus today and you want to be seated in heavenly places like Ephesians says, and you want to live for eternity in the right seat, you can just pray this prayer with me. It's just a confession of your faith in Jesus. Just say, God, I'm sorry. I've put myself in a vulnerable spot and I have fallen out of the window with sin. I confess it. But I believe that you came and you died and you rose for me. And so I'm asking the teacher to wake me up and to come into my life and to change my life forever. I surrender my life to you. God, I thank you for every commitment that's been made in this place this morning. Lord, I thank you for your word and how it speaks truth and how you do it so, so gently. God, I pray that for me, that you would help for me to sit in the right places. God, you know the things in my heart that need to be changed and the places that are vulnerable that I need to change. God, would you help us all to remember that we're seated in heavenly places when we have a relationship with you. Lord, help for us to walk this out. In Jesus' name, amen.